all these dickheads saying they heard this back in the NAM, fuck off.
Well, someone is very passionate about their Vietnam.
You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to pop culture and comic books and filtering it through the subsystems of your urinary tract.
Wow.
I'm your host, Aaron Alvarez, and who are you?
I'm Alex Mitchell.
All right, so you're Alex Mitchell.
I am.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. Okay. So sometimes I'm Alejandro.
Well, you got two names.
Yeah.
So, Patreon's a thing, and we're on there. Patreon.com/TheObscureGentleman. If you donate different monies...
Incentives.
You get certain incentives.
Yeah. All right.
I think.
All right.
Yeah, some cool things. So if you want to help support the podcast and the webcomic, please feel free to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd
appreciate it.
Accept your patronage.
Yeah, patronage.
Patronage. The podcast, please subscribe if you're listening to this on the website or whatever, or anywhere. Subscribe to this on iTunes. Also, leave a review, comments on social media if you want. Just get the word out. Just talk. Please, speak. And tell your friends and your dog. Tell your family. Tell your dog. We want the canine audience.
Mm-hmm. Really? Trying to get that German Shepherd, Border Collie demographic.
Yeah, not Golden Retrievers. We hate them.
I don't.
Yeah, no, you do. You do.
I used to have one.
No, you didn't.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Gang bang!
It was a firefight!
But I don't want to be a pirate!
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How can you snap?
This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you!
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy!
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat...
Oh, look! Rocks!
Game over!
You lose! Good day, sir!
No! No!
Alright, so I guess jumping right into the deep end of this. On Monday's podcast, we talked a little bit about Superman, Batman, and Dawn of Justice, and how Superman's role is possibly being reduced. So in that sort of same vein, I think it's imperative to... I mean, we touched a little bit on it on Monday. I think it's imperative to go into sort of how this relates to the comic books and what it means. So by that, if you don't listen to Mondays, is Batman is apparently going to be getting more screen time than Superman, to the point where they're shooting new scenes and they want to lessen Superman scenes in the movie. This is, of course, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yes.
Because, you know, the world needs more fucking Batman, I guess. I mean, it's not like he's had a bunch of fucking movies recently.
Well, those don't count anymore.
And cartoons. Well. I mean, it's not like he has some the most number of DC titles. It's not like Batman can be found everywhere. I mean, we need more Batman screen time in this Batman and Superman movie. We need less Superman, apparently. And we need more fucking Superman films, and we need Superman to appear in more of the DC films. I mean, Batman, because, you know, Batman's important, and everyone loves Batman.
Well, I'm glad you agree. So.
Batman, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, we don't need to talk. I mean, you already...
I know, it's...
No, I mean, I can see why you're frustrated.
And we... the media thing we've already covered, but in terms of the comic books, which... I mean, this is Wednesday comics, so we're talking about fucking comics.
Wednesday night comics.
So let's take a trip back in time.
Mm-hmm.
We are time travelers, after all.
Yeah. I've done it before.
Yes, and you will do it again.
Yeah. Safety not guaranteed.
Yes, sure. I've seen that movie.
It's good.
Okay, so basically, if we go back to the genesis of DC, you have Superman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for years, through the 50s and 60s, and even 70s, I would argue. You know what? I'd even argue... into the 80s, it was all just... Superman, while he was the center of the DC universe, at the same time, he shared the spotlight. You know, the best way to describe it is in your wrestling terms. Mm-hmm. He was a wrestler or a superhero who could put other characters over.
Yeah.
And that was cool. I mean, it was this character who stood for truth and justice, and he just...
And all that stuff.
And all that other good stuff. He stood for these things, but at the same time, he wasn't really a glory hog. I mean, you have Action Comics, Superman, Superboy, all those titles, and you'd have so many other characters.
You count Legion of Superheroes in that?
Yeah, it depends on what... I mean, eventually I want to do an episode on Legion of Superheroes because how fucked up it is.
Oh, yeah.
There are, like, at least 7 iterations. But anyways, like, Superman comics were a chance for other characters to guest star, even to the point where, at one point, there was an actual backup feature which hosted just different superheroes. I mean, it was great. But then something happened. And in the 90s, late 80s, well, let's just say, let's go back to where it actually began. It started in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight Returns came out.
Okay. Frank Miller.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Batman was cool. To the point where, not just comic fans, but comic professionals were like, hey, let's pay more attention and write this guy better. I mean, technically, and I'm still to this day say that Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams were the ones who revolutionized
it. I like those comics, yeah. Like...
And to me, they really brought the edge and the darkness to Batman, while still letting him be friendly and not an asshole.
That's when he was sword fighting with Ra's and all that, yeah.
Yes,
not with dicks, but actual swords, yes.
Not with Richard Grayson's.
Yes.
So
he may have been there.
So then what happened is, that came out, and then all of a sudden Batman's prominence sort of blew up. And then from there, we had this slight, gradual incline of Batman not usurping Superman. I mean, that didn't happen until a little bit later. But it was good. It was still good because it was like, you know what? Now the world's finest are almost equals now.
Mm-hmm.
They're equally as popular. I mean, the movie came out by Tim Burton. And that the whole mark that the 60s show left was washed away.
Yeah.
And so now we lived in a world where Superman and Batman were on equal footing.
And they were cool.
And cool. They were they kind of stopped being friends after Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were best pals before that.
Shaking hands and fighting Nazis.
Eating sandwiches, yeah.
Yeah.
So, sitting on cannons. So,
Yes.
But back then, yeah, they were friendly on friendly terms. And it was cool because, see, even back then when Batman, say, he wasn't on equal footing with Superman, at the same time, Superman saw him as an equal. The comics, it was treated as thus, even though... See, Batman was more of that. He's the more... what's the best way to put this? So Superman's the light side of DC.
Yeah.
It's the face character of DC. It's like... But then if you want to go in a little bit deeper and read more dark stuff or whatever, you go to Batman.
Yeah.
And it's night and day. It's that sort of thing. DC always thrived by living in the daytime. That was their thing. Marvel lived in the night.
Yeah.
DC lived in the day, so Superman represents all that brightness. That's why he led the Justice League. That's why... He was essentially the face of the company. In the 70s, for a brief time, they even changed their logo to be Superman Comics. At one point, they had Superman on their logo. I mean, and that's how it was. And when the 90s hit, all of a sudden now you have both of them are, you know, both popular together. Cool. Awesome. Great. And then a man by the name of Grant Morrison happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he really changed things. So the term Bat God, are you familiar with that?
Yes, I'm very... You know I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
It's the concept that Batman is essentially infallible in his combat skills, and that basically with any amount of... And I say this with quotation marks.
Yeah.
Prep time.
Yeah.
He can beat...
anyone.
Yeah, and I appreciate that in very small...
Yeah.
Like, it's not cool when it's every single time.
When it's something rare or special.
Yeah. And so, I could say that about any big thing that, you know, anyone does.
I mean, and that's how it started out when Morrison initially wrote the character.
Yeah.
It was just like, occasionally he'll help save the league. All that stuff. But then, something started to happen. that whole notion of the bat god evolved into not only are his moves infallible, he himself is infallible. Mm. So anything he says, you can't argue it. Anything he does, you can't argue it. Now, this wasn't initially part of the comics. This was more of something that was spreading towards readers. And not only readers, but somehow this notion escaped into popular...
I don't know where that came about.
I don't know either, and it's very bizarre how the notion where Batman could beat up anyone went from being strictly...
Most people don't know anyone outside of Batman characters.
No, but now because of the Arkham games and all that stuff like that, they completely do.
But it's weird. When you play those games, you see the struggle he has to...
And at the same time, it's weird. There's no connection with that for people. They still think, Batman could beat up anyone. Batman could beat up anyone. So this notion of the background thing, it transcended comic books. And the general public became like, yeah, Batman could beat up anyone. And then you have Superman in the mix. And when you have Superman in the mix, there's this weird thing with comic book readers and normal people, like non-comic book readers, I should say, where they're obsessed with Batman beating the fuck out of Superman.
It's kind of weird because, like, I remember kind of, like, getting this as a kid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that strong. Because, you know, back then we had Batman Superman Hour.
Yeah.
Or, you know, World's Finest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you had those two Bruce Timm cartoons, and they were
back
awesome.
Back to back, yeah. And it was great seeing that every morning.
And I remember as a kid, though, people were like, oh, I like the Superman show better. I like the Batman show better. But it was never, like, on a violent level.
It was always, you pick your favorite.
Yeah. But the cool thing is you had crossovers.
Yeah, you liked both, but you still had a favorite.
Yeah.
But eventually something happened where, in the mid-2000s, it was just like, fuck Superman. Fuck Batman. Only Batman. And it was this weird... All of a sudden, there became like a cult of Batman, I want to say.
Which is weird, because you would think that patriotism weird thing that was happening at that time would have pushed more for Superman.
But... I mean, Batman Begins, I want to say, solidified it.
And which is weird, too.
No, it didn't. It didn't solidify it. Like, it
helped.
It brought those feelings, but the Dark Knight solidified that feeling. Mm-hmm. Batman is the best. No one is better. Batman could beat... You have people say, Batman could be Cthulhu. Cthulhu could be beaten by a boat, but that's beside the point. It's like, Batman could be Galactus. It's like, oh, fuck, what is happening?
That movie was huge, Dark Knight.
It was.
Yeah. I went to a screening over here in West Covina. It's a theater that saw business, but virtually, I think maybe 10 theaters out of, like, the 18 they have were Batman.
Yeah, I mean...
Dark Knight.
And that's essentially he got so mega popular, and at the same time, you had Superman, and the general public was like, fuck Superman. Like he's a bitch compared to Batman, and it's like...
And I've also seen things like, he's gay, like, and it's like, yeah and that's a weird thing, too, when you kind of...
All those juvenile comments.
Yeah, you see, like, this weird, like homophobic remarks towards this character.
There's this.
I've never understood.
There became a blunt hatred towards Superman to the point where people were like, "I wish he was dead. I wish he would die. I wish Batman would kill him." And it was always Batman needs to beat up Superman. It's like, motherfucker, they used to be friends. And I say used to because, for some stupid ass reason, DC decided to carry on this mentality. Now there was a point, after Crisis where they weren't as best buddies anymore.
But they were like, all right,
they were still friends, and they could be on equal terms. Eventually came Superman, Batman, the comic series.
Loeb?
Yeah. And that whole notion of Batman and Superman are really good friends was came back. And it was back for a while. Mm-hmm. Then, I don't know what the fuck, Geoff Johns, for some fucked up reason, decided to say, no, let's make them at each other's throats again. And so that...
I think he was listening to Frank Miller, because... He's gone on record to say that fundamentally they wouldn't be friends.
And it's stupid. See, and the point
that's
is
the thing. You can have friends that you don't agree with at all, politically or whatever, and you could still be friends.
And the point between them being friends is that they both, it's not that they have an admiration for each other, it's that they both see each other's points. They may not agree with them, but it's like, you know what? I respect you. There's a respect.
Yeah. Like, if you watch Justice League, the episode where Superman dies. I say dies because he really got sent to the future. But Batman even says, you know, you were able to do something that I never could, which is make people actually walk into the light and be good based on that. Whereas I have to use fear and intimidation.
Yeah, so...
And it's a nice moment. To me, that show represents everything that I would like DC to be.
But now those moments are gone because... So then you had this sort of feeling infecting everything. You had Grant Morrison coming back to the to Batman when Dick Grayson took his place. But then when Dick was gone, he brought Bruce back. And the Bat-God shit got even more intense.
Can I say, I actually like those comics. No. But the Bat-God shit went literally insane with that.
And see, now it's gone to the point where Batman is now a literal fucking god right now. Like, literally, he is a new god right now. And also, Superman and Batman are at each other's throats, and there's this weird thing where it's like, it almost seems like since the New 52 started, it seems like Bruce Wayne's the more honorable character now. Mm-hmm. Bruce Wayne's he's essentially replaced Clark Kent as
the guy,
and they're trying to experiment so much with Superman to try to make him fit in, try to make him almost Batman him up, all these things, and it's, to me, it just does not work, and they're not embracing what the character's about. But now you have this whole switching happening where it's Batman's essentially the face of the company, but he's like Hulk Hogan, he's not putting anyone over.
Yeah,
he's essentially all for himself,
and he's being a racist.
And he's being racist.
No.
But yeah, like it's fucking ridiculous. It's for some reason DC doesn't want anyone to rise above Batman or be put over by Batman because it's. Batman.
You're
sells.
Trying to protect your image, essentially.
Yeah.
And I get that, you know, but, I mean, both of them recently had their 75th anniversaries, right?
Yeah.
So you would think that'd be a time to celebrate. And in their defense, they did celebrate both characters.
But Superman shit was so fucking minimal.
Yeah.
It was, like, beyond minimal. Yet Batman got a lot of shit. Superman got some variant covers and a book. Batman had just tons of shit thrown his way. Like, I do not understand.
I think we need to look at why they got popular. I think at the end of the day, DC wants to appeal to like a mainstream
audience. But at the same time.
So how did this happen? I mean,
the movies are a contributing factor. The games are a contributing factor.
Could we say that Superman Returns not doing well?
I wouldn't even say that's a non-factor almost.
Really.
I mean, it didn't make a cultural impact, really. No one really remembers it.
That's what I'm saying, though.
If that movie had, like, been... But see, one could argue that the reason why it did bad in the first place...
Because we're at that point
...was
already.
Because people stopped caring about Superman. And so the question is, why do people stop caring about Superman? And as time goes on, we will investigate this further. We'll, like, try to
There's
find out.
There's gotta be some... It can't just be DC. I do feel like there's some cultural thing going on that we're not looking into just yet, but this actually interests me a lot because it is that thing, like, why do people gravitate towards certain things at certain times? Like,
and
what made, and, you know, to use wrestling terms again, why did people stop going towards, like, your Hulk Hogan's, and why did they go more towards, like, your Austin's?
Yeah. I feel that this is a topic that we'll be revisiting more often.
Yeah.
Like, occasionally, and to get to the bottom, but I think it's just something that needs to be put out there that what is it that is making DC essentially
scared?
Almost say, well, fuck what our characters represent. Fuck having Batman just be a detective.
Mm-hmm. Detective Comics.
So. Yeah. Fuck Superman, you know, being like this symbol for all of the heroes to get behind and rally behind. Let's have it the other way around where this is the Batman show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is that? I mean... No one knows, but maybe we'll find out one day.
I mean, I'm looking at this picture of the Avengers right now, and, you know, I'm seeing Captain America at the forefront here, but...
Yeah.
But I see more people rallying behind Tony Stark.
I mean, and that's a conversation for another time, completely, too.
But but at the same time, they're kind of... It's kind of a similar situation, isn't it?
It is. Not as big, I'd say.
No.
But it is similar, but... Yeah, so, I mean, the Superman-Batman thing... Yeah, we're going to totally address this again.
Yeah.
I mean, but I just think it's something that needs to be thought about considering the news about Batman, Superman, the movie that's going to be coming out, and what it means to pop culture, what it means to Superman in general. So, Okay, so Marvel has been announcing titles for their relaunch for the all-new, all-different Marvel after Secret Wars. So they announced a title called Red Wolf.
Oh, that's with the Native American
Yeah, it's by Nathan Edmondson and Jeffrey Verej. So the whole plot is this. He's from the 1872 Battle World, right? And so he's from that zone in Battle World, and he's ripped out of time, and he's going to be part of the normal Marvel universe.
So is he like in our modern day?
Yeah, he's a man out of time. He's a Native American ripped out of time. Red Wolf has existed since the 1970s. It's an old character, and it's essentially revamped.
Is that like? Did Marvel have their own Western series?
Yeah, they've had tons of.
Because I do like the DC Western stuff. Yeah, I kind of wish they
could. Like Rawhide and stuff like that. Yeah. Even the original Ghost Rider was a Western character.
Oh, okay.
So here's just some comments to give some talking points, I guess. So, I'm just letting you guys know this is going to get real.
Okay.
I'm just so proud they created something instead of taking a character everyone loves and making them Native American instead. You know, like African American Cap, or female Thor, or Asian American Hulk, or ... Now, before we go into that, here are some responses. Their names might be inherited, but they have their own stories and ways of doing things that are different from the originals. They aren't knockoffs, retreads, or rehashes, or whatever similar word you decide to call them. And someone else says, to be fair, it's not like Marvel hasn't done it before. Rick Jones as the Hulk, Thunderstrike as Thor, U.S. Agent as Bucky, and Bucky as Cap. It amazes me how many so-called fans who whine about this act like this is the first time it's ever happened. Granted, Marvel didn't do all these one at once like they are now, but there is a precedence for it.
Yeah, you know, like, I've heard this argument, and this isn't the first time I've heard this before.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, going to the first thing, Red Wolf, first of all, the dude saying that, he's probably created something instead of taking a character everyone loves and making them Native American. Okay, first of all, they didn't just create this character, he's been around for a while. But then the other thing is, taking a character that everyone loves and making them Native American set, so he's saying he doesn't like race bending, as it's been called.
Yeah, which is a reference to Last Airbender.
Here's where my problem with this argument always is. They're not changing the race of the actual character.
It's not like we made like
Steve Rogers isn't becoming a black dude.
Yeah,
Sam Wilson took the title.
I think it's the headline craze where it's like they just read the headline and they're thinking like, oh shit.
Well, it's not just that either. It's just there's this thing where people can't separate the character from the superhero name that they have. They don't see it as a mantle. They don't see it as like, they don't see the civilian name separate from the costume. And they think, well, there can only be one Captain America, there could only be one Hulk. It doesn't have to be that case. I mean, legacies are a thing.
Yeah, I think with DC, I'm more used to it. With Marvel, yeah. I'm not exactly used to it.
Well, here's what I've noticed. When a white character takes another white character's
name, one cares.
No one fucking complains. No one says why are they doing this? It's just like, oh, that's interesting, whatever, or I don't care. When someone who is ethnic, a minority, whatever you want to call it, takes the character's reins, all hell fucking breaks loose, and it's like, they're shoving diversity down our throats, they're doing this. Why can't they? You know what they should do? They should just release a series of that character. It's like, okay, look.
That's not good. Okay, well, I think the thing
is, that series won't fucking sell.
Yeah.
I mean, but then you go to Red Wolf, this is going to test if that's true or not.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think the series. I think the series is going to make it 6 issues.
And that's it.
And it's.
And that's regrettable, because I know, like, Ryan Choi, Adam.
Yeah.
His didn't exactly go that long.
And it's the Adam in general. I think it's a hard sell for a title like that. But, like, Amadeus Cho is going to be the incredibly awesome Hulk.
Okay.
And, I mean, I feel like that's going to sell fine. It's Greg Pak is writing. Frank Cho's doing artwork. And it's a top-tier title like Hulk or Thor, where Jane Foster's Thor. Sam Wilson's Captain America. Those can sustain numbers because of the superhero that they're representing. Mm-hmm. A legacy or a mantle like the Atom, it's just a harder sell. But Red Wolf is the one where I'm just saying, like, I want it to succeed. I really do. But the problem is, I think it's so niche of a title that I don't think people are going to care. It's sad. The industry we're in nowadays with comics is people only care about big name properties, which is why you have so many Avengers branding essentially on so many titles. But the other dude's right though. We've seen this happen a lot.
Yeah,
we've seen legacies. We've seen other people take up the mantles, and the biggest one that no one seems to mention. The whole entire reason we have fucking James Rhodes, why we have War Machine, is because he was Iron Man first. Before he became War Machine, when Tony was indisposed and he was a fucking alcoholic and shit like that, going through his problems, James Rhodes took his place for a while.
A lot of people, well, again...
And people weren't upset back then.
Mm.
Why? Because I honestly think the internet has done something horrible where now everyone's rage and shit is amplified, and everyone's a bit more racist, too, in terms of being on the internet. Back then, I mean, yeah, there were complaints in the letters columns, but it wasn't as much. And also...
And I think because War Machine's kind of stood the test of time, I think people tend to not care as much.
And also because... back then, it's like, yeah, the only place you could discuss this
thing... Was Iron Man even a huge character at the time?
He was, but, I mean, he wasn't, like, pop culturally popular.
Okay.
But at the same time... With that is that you could only speak about the shit in letters columns.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you have all the crazy people coming out of the woodwork able to discuss the shit.
I mean, that's what our podcast is about.
Yeah, so... I mean. this talking point, essentially... yeah, it's great that they're using an original character. Well, I mean, it's an older character. That's great, but to complain about, like... To say this bullshit, like... Well, at least they didn't have him replace another character. It's like, what does it fucking matter? It's like, they're not really replacing that character.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be back.
Status quo always returns to
Big Two. I don't know why people always get, like, scared about
this. And then when status quo returns, how come they never do anything different?
The only time I've seen that maintain is with Jaime Reyes.
Yeah, that's not like that anymore, though. So.
Oh, really? What happened with that?
Jaime's... They don't talk about him anymore.
No, but I mean, Ted Kord never came back.
Yes, he's in JLA 3001.
Oh, well, that's cool. I gotta read that.
And Jaime's pretty much in limbo now, so...
Wow, they actually fucking did it.
No, I mean, he ended up on a space station, and then we haven't seen him since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck me, I'm wrong then.
Yeah, so... Yeah, okay, so...
Status quo will never die.
Oh, no, it won't. Everything will eventually...
I mean, return. But that's the thing, though. That what I was saying, though, that was around for a while.
Yeah.
Like, and that was one of those things everyone felt kind of bad. Ted Kord's never coming back.
But...
With, like...
He's technically back twice. Because he's... So, Ted Kord in JLA 3001 is the Ted Kord from what's called the Giffen universe.
Yeah.
So there's that Ted Kord, but also there is a Ted Kord in the normal DC universe also, who hasn't done anything, he just has a company.
Oh.
He's Kord Industries, but there's hints of him doing something, but yeah.
Timelines make no sense to me anymore.
No, DC in general makes no sense because, well, first of all, it didn't make sense when New 52 happened because so much bullshit happened. Now it makes even less sense because their new edict is story over continuity when it... Well, I could agree with that to a point.
You have too much continuity.
They're essentially saying, like, well, if this doesn't make sense, who cares? The story's good. And it's like, You know what? I understand that logic, but at the same time, because you have a shared universe...
You kind of need to...
Your shit starts to fall apart if you don't have some sort of... At least, at the minimum, some sort of vague understanding of what the fuck is going on. Superman... is depowered and, like, well, Golden Age levels of power in Action Comics and Superman comics and Batman and Superman. Yet, in the Justice League title, he's still regular old fucking Superman.
See, that doesn't make sense.
Nothing really makes sense. I mean...
Like, this character, right? Like...
Red Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for it. I understand why people get, like, concerned about my character getting replaced and shit, but I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's not one of those things that's permanent. That's why I never got, like, angry about, you know, like, I have no reason to get angry about a female Thor. I mean, that's like, a whatever.
Personally, like, I like character replacements. I like legacies. I like Mantle.
Oh, yeah, because you like Starman.
Yeah.
Right? So,
it's not just that. It's, to me, it's change. It's something different because comics, it's like...
Well, your first comic was Kyle Rayner, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm open and okay to the point of comics actually changing. Yeah. Of personally, my biggest wish in comics would be for at least the big two, is that characters would be allowed to age and actually die.
Yeah.
I wish that we'd actually have a Marvel or DC universe where characters would retire and legacies would take over, and because if you did that, you'd have such originality constantly. You'd have new stories that could crop up instead of, like, you know, character retires, oh, character's back, character dies, character's back. It's like...
I mean, it's one of the big criticisms of comic books, I think.
Is that, the status quo always returns, and it's kind of like...
That's, and I think that's why, like, you know, I know a while back we discussed, like Wolverine dying, right?
Yeah.
We said, like, oh, well, you know, it's not the destination, it's the journey, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, I do feel that does take away some drama to a death.
It can. As long as the death is written well, I think it's okay. But at the same time, yeah, it can. And
I think it's because it's that biting pessimism you have in the back of your head going, like, well, he's probably going to come back.
See, anyway. The only thing that is because recently is the whole old man Logan's going to be now the
Wolverine.
No, because Wolverine is now actually Laura X-23,
okay.
Yeah, so who the fuck knows what's going to happen? But that whole thing about saying we don't, the whole replacements, it's a fucking lie because they only say this shit when it's a character who isn't white.
Or a female.
Yeah. If it's a white male replacing someone, you get no peeps. You get, oh, that could be interesting. As soon as it's someone who's not a white male, fuck, you will get nothing but complaints. You'll get nothing but they're forcing diversity down our throats. So
I mean, that's why people were cool with Morrison's Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
because it wasn't messing with anything.
Yeah, but if it was a black character, oh fuck no, they would be cool. They would be angry.
Yeah.
So, okay, so
what else you got?
It's got potential, but do we have to be nailed down to the image of Native Americans that was formed in the Old West? We've done other stuff since then. To which someone replies, "Might just be lazy writing, but I think people gravitate back to the iconic image because it is so cool. It seems like most cultures have that one, not really realistic image that stands out to others because it's so accessible and appealing. Japanese samurai, Nordic Vikings, Canadian lumberjack, etc.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if they have the characters interact with a modern Native American nation, maybe his parallel universe tribe equivalent. There is a lot of good story potential." Okay.
I'm figuring that's what's gonna happen with that guy said.
I mean, yeah, that
we as Americans, I took a class on this actually. We actually do tend to like romanticize the image of the Native American. Like if you look at our old currency, we have like the Native American head on there. You know, people like the idea of this old kind of like nation that never really went away. It's different now.
The thing is, it's like, you know what? The first dude does kind of have a point that our imagery of what we think the Native American is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's complete fucking bullshit. The feathers things, only certain tribes had that certain regions.
Is this a fictional tribe, though, that this guy's from?
Yeah.
So they can do what they want.
Yeah, with it. But at the same time, it's the whole using that imagery that never really existed. The imagery of John Wayne movies and, you know, those Ford films. So there is a point to that where do we draw the line? Where do we say representation is good, but at the same time, true representation needs to be. But at the same time, because it's fiction,
And it's a comic book. We want it to look cool.
Yeah. Know? So it is. It is one of those like hard things. It's not something you could just like say it should be this way or that way. It's very gray. I mean, I have problems myself just thinking of like, how would you do that? I mean, and what people are saying is like, well, why isn't he wearing a shirt? Why isn't he this? And I mean, yeah, those are good questions. I mean, they definitely are, but at the same time, it's...
This is why I don't like discussing, like, real-world shit with comic books, because I understand why it's kind of a problem, because people don't want to see, you know, women get treated like objects. People don't want to see...
Yeah.
People do want to see people of color and, you know, different diversities. You know, you want representation on it, and that's cool. I think this is one of those times, though, when it's kind of a... It's a weird area, because it's like... And you want to see this cool-looking character, but you're going to get what's essentially like a non... Like, what was never really a thing.
Yeah, see, I mean, because what might be cool to say us...
Yeah.
Could be offensive towards an actual Native American.
Oh, yeah. Because we were watching some movie with the dude who played Lumberg in Office Space. He was playing Custer. And one of the dudes that goes after him is this like, big, hulking, like, Native American dude on a white horse with a buffalo head.
Yeah.
And everyone in the class thought that was awesome, but... What if I showed that to someone? Would they have that same reaction?
It looks like a fucking caricature, a stereotype.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. This whole Red Wolf thing is... And this is like the hot button issue is about... Is it a stereotype? Is it... What exactly is it? Yeah. Like,
it's not a real tribe.
It's not.
So...
But at the same time, it does evoke imagery of something that just did not fucking exist.
Yeah.
And so,
or things that existed throughout different tribes that all became one thing.
It evokes the imagery of the white man's version of the Native American.
Yeah.
The white man's version of the romanticized Indian, as they call them. But it is one of those things where I don't think there's a clear answer. I think that this title, if it even succeeds or makes it, it's gonna have to be very fucking careful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Nathan Edmondson, there's some shit going on with him right now in general.
What's going on with him?
There's hearsay and rumors about him sexually abusing people.
Oh.
So this title is already right now surrounded by controversy. But I think having a Native American-led title is a great thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's wonderful. Jeffrey Verej, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Wonderful artist. I don't know how he's going to... Because he normally does, like, this iconographic style art, so I don't know how he's going to do it in the comic. The story seems cool. It's almost Captain America, but done in a different way, where it's Captain America understood... See, he remembered out of time from the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
He still had transitioned to modern world, but that was mostly technology, whereas someone ripped out from 1872 when America wasn't really America yet is going to be a bigger difference.
Yeah.
And again, also, all your people are now killed. I'm hoping it tackles important stuff.
I want to say that, but I don't know. I always worry when these things tackle them because they usually don't do it well.
Yeah, it could be end up being like really like fuck, make you think and go like, damn, that's.
Or it can be really cringeworthy and.
Or it could, yeah, it like, could just be like, oh no, why did you do that?
Like the soapbox didn't exactly like it's like it became too soapbox and didn't actually address a real issue.
Or, like, is he gonna do the stereotype dance as well as step wise Native American, or is he gonna like go for like the more little big man sort of where the dude is more has more like variants where it's like. Yeah. He's nuanced.
And, nice little big man reference there.
You know, I so... Like but, I mean, who knows? I mean, personally, I'm worried. I mean, that's... But I'm glad that that we're going to have a Korean-American-led book, which is Awesome Hulk, Incredibly Awesome Hulk. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're going to have a Native American-led book. I mean, that's pretty fucking great, but... what would be greater is if we had more creators who were actually represented.
But that's, I mean...
Again, most details written by white dudes.
Yeah, and that's where I worry. It's like where's this gonna...
You have representation of your fictional characters, but...
That's fine.
Whereas, but... it'd be nice to have representation of your, like, creative team. But, yeah. I mean, that's a discussion, I think, for another time.
Yeah.
All right, so, I guess what we're gonna do now is... I have... This is a way to set up, I guess, next week's episode. Which... will be a. It might be an oversized episode. Could be. It depends.
Giant sized issue.
Could be giant sized.
Yeah, right.
So here's a quote from Mark Evanier, and last week I referenced this this event. So they were very friendly. So he's speaking about Bob Kane and Stan Lee.
Oh no!
I was at Bob Kane's funeral. By the way, Kane was buried with Batman toys. I'm serious. Before they closed the coffin, they were putting little toy Batmobiles in there. As they were lowering Bob Kane into the ground, Stan Lee turns to me and says, out of nowhere, "You know, Steve Ditko is the best inker Jack Kirby ever had." I said, "All right." Now, because Stan doesn't have the greatest attention span in the world... We're out in the middle of Forest Lawn Cemetery, and he says, "There's lots of celebrities here, aren't there?" "Yes, Stan." "Stan Laurel is buried here. I saw the grave marker as we were coming in." "Really? Let's go see it." "Wait. Let's let them finish lowering Bob first." So, this is Mark Evanier, Jack Kirby's assistant, comic book historian.
This man sounds like he has, like, all these weird, amazing stories.
Yeah, well, I mean, he lived in it.
That's amazing.
He got to be the fly on the wall, essentially. So, this was at Bob Kane's funeral. So,
can you imagine just being stuck with that for the rest of existence? Having all these fucking toys?
I mean, it's not gonna matter.
It is weird.
But, we'll find out more about that next week, because next week you can look forward to our Bob Kane episode. Oh. I figure to just, you know, I want to get it out of the way, not in a bad way, but I just
you can't hold it in anymore.
It needs to be, this stuff needs to be said. So yeah, next week will be the Bob Kane special.
Oh shit. It's got to be Kane.
God damn it, I knew that was coming.
Are we going to have a Stan Lee episode or a Jack
Eventually
Kirby?
We'll cover like different professionals.
All right.
Steve Ditko even, so. Yeah. So look forward to that next week. Okay, so all these dickheads saying they heard this back in the NAM, fuck off.
It better be Lollipop. Lollipop, Lollipop, oh lolly lolly.
This is Donovan with Sunshine Superman.
Sunshine came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out easy, but I've changed my way. Take time, I know it, but in a while you're gonna be mine, I know it. We'll do it in style, cause I made my mind up. You're going to be mine, I'll tell you right now, and it's trickin' a bone.